It's Sunday, December 18th, 2016, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is literally this week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shevlin, publisher and chief creative of Amaze 21 Publishing, here to bring you the literary news for the second full week of December 2016. Top story from Monday. From The Guardian, U.S. libraries report spike in Islamophobic hate speech since election. A spate of racist incidents have been reported by U.S. librarians in the aftermath of the presidential election. According to data gathered by the American Libraries Association, copies of the Quran and books about Islam have been defaced with swastikas and hate speech at locations across the U.S. In the worst incident, 4 days after the election of Donald Trump, a man attempted to forcibly remove a student's hijab as she studied in the library of the University of New Mexico. In November, in libraries as far apart as Oregon and Illinois, copies of the Quran have been defaced. In the Illinois incident, which we covered in a previous episode of this podcast, police were called in to investigate after 7 books were vandalized in Evanston public libraries. American Library Association President Julie Todaro expressed alarm at the increase in the hate crimes perpetrated in libraries. She laid blame upon divisive rhetoric during the recent presidential election campaign. These crimes, from defacing library materials in public libraries to offensive graffiti on the walls of academic libraries, have begun to mirror the divisive rhetoric of this campaign season, she said. The move of hate crimes into public libraries reflects an overall trend in the U.S., according to the latest FBI statistics. These revealed a 67% jump in anti-Muslim hate crimes in 2015, rising from 154 incidents in 2014 to 257 a year later during the presidential primaries. Also in the news on Monday from the Moscow Times, Times New Roman falls victim of U.S. sanctions. U.S. company Monotype Imaging, which holds the rights to such fonts as Arial, Verdana, Tahoma, and Times New Roman, reportedly refused to sell Russian developers' usage of a font on the Astralytics operating system. From the bookseller Highwire Press by Semantico, U.S. scholarly publishing company Highwire Press has bought Brighton-based technology and services company Semantico for an undisclosed sum. From Melville House Books, books can be powerful weapons, but not these books. We here in publishing hope that not all books are completely harmless, but we're glad that these particular ones were. Now for the top stories from Tuesday from the Washington Post. Bob Dylan is sorry he didn't show up to accept the Nobel Prize of Literature. Over the course of his illustrious career, Bob Dylan has appeared at the Grammys, the Golden Globes, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Music Cares Person of the Year Awards, the Kennedy Center Honors, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and the Critics' Choice Awards. But when it came for him to accept the perhaps highest honor of all, the Nobel Prize, Dylan was a no-show. He had pre-existing commitments. Some wondered whether the unpredictable performer would make a surprise appearance, but come Saturday, there was no Dylan, only a note. I'm sorry I can't be with you in person, but please know that I am most definitely with you in spirit and honored to be receiving such a prestigious prize, it said. Azita Raji, the U.S. ambassador to Sweden, read the heartfelt message from Dylan aloud. His note alluded to the question many asked when it was announced that he would receive the prize, Are Dylan Songs Literature? This was the first time a musician was awarded this prize. It was a bit of a risk for the committee, and probably why its members were all the more miffed that Dylan didn't seem to care. The musician explained in his letter that he needed more than a few minutes to properly process it. He has spent so much of his life pursuing his work and dealing with all the aspects of life's mundane matters, he said. He never stopped to consider whether his songs are literature. Continuing on the story on Tuesday from Melville House Books, Bob Dylan just offered the world a master class in how to accept a Nobel Prize. This weekend, while he did not fly to Stockholm to receive the prize personally, Bob Dylan did successfully complete his metamorphosis into Nobel laureate Bob Dylan, and LBD had promised he would send an acceptance speech to be read on his behalf, and he did. Spoiler alert, it's totally effin' fantastic. Continuing on the news from Tuesday from Digiday, the pitfalls of sponsored content in 5 charts, one of the true bright spots for publishers, could wind up further eroding the value of their most precious asset. From the bookseller, Books on the Underground to hand out self-published titles. Books on the Underground, an organization working to promote reading and public transport, is holding its first Independent Authors Day, December 14th. From LitHub, All Writing is a Kind of Exile, Elon Stavins and Carlos Fonseca in conversation. And finally on Tuesday from InfoDocket, More machine-readable data, Senate passes Open Government Act. The Open Public, Electronic, and Necessary Government Data Act, or the Open Government Act, mandates federal agencies, when not otherwise prohibited by law, make data available in a way that does not impede use or reuse. It must also be free to the public, with no restrictions on copying, publication, distribution, transmittal, citing, or adaptation. Top story from Wednesday from Variety, Golden Globe nominations, complete list. Nominations for the 74th Annual Golden Globe Awards were announced on Monday morning on NBC's Today Live in the Beverly Hilton Hotel, after Don Cheadle, Laura Dern, and Anna Kendrick were joined by the Miss Golden Globe trio, Sophia, Sistine, and Scarlett Stallone, Hollywood Foreign Press Association President Lorenzo Soria, and Barry Adelman, Dick Clark Productions Executive VP of Television, in revealing the nominees. The 2017 ceremony will be hosted by comedian Jimmy Fallon. Up for Best Screenplay, La La Land, Nocturnal Animals, Moonlight, Manchester by the Sea, and Hell or High Water. Also news on Wednesday from LitHub, how writers are getting back to work. Celeste Ng, Sarah Novick, Morgan Jerkins, and others on how catastrophe affects daily practice. From the bookseller, following up on a story from a few weeks ago, Beetle the Bard copy raised to nearly £370,000 at auction. A rare copy of J.K. Rowling's Beetle the Bard, previously owned by the first Harry Potter editor Barry Cunningham, has sold for £368,750 at auction. From The New Yorker, the feminist legacy of the Babysitter's Club. The Babysitter's Club, affectionately known as the BSC, told the stories of a group of girls who started a babysitting business. Approximately 180 million copies of the books have been sold to date, and some untold number of girls who read the books tried to start babysitting businesses. And finally on Wednesday, from InfoDocket, the New York Public Library and Macmillan announced book and ebook publishing partnership. The New York Public Library and Macmillan Publishers announced today a partnership through which they will create and publish a number of print and ebooks for both adults and children. And now we take a break for a message from our sponsor, the Indiegogo campaign for the fantasy epic The Will of the Magi. Now going into its fourth week, we are at 79% of our goal and chugging right along to completion long before our campaign end on January 21st. This campaign, available on Indiegogo, run by This 21 Publishing, is to complete the editing, cover design, and early production for The Will of the Magi, the fantasy epic, by Paul Dexter Russell, which has been the source of information for the Publish Me podcast over the past year and a half. The writing is done, the cover designer is selected. Now we just need to complete the editing, get the design work done, and come summer 2017, you'll be able to hold a paperback, hardcover, or ebook copy of The Will of the Magi in your hands. Donate early, donate often, donate today. Go to Indiegogo.com in the writing section, or visit ace21.com for a link. Now turning to top news from Thursday from the bookseller, new analysis shows extent of England's library book spend drop. Book spend for libraries in England has fallen by £35 million since 2005, while book lending to adults and children has declined by 36.5% and 21% respectively in the last 5 years. New analysis from library campaigner and former Waterstones MD Tim Coates has revealed. Coates' analysis of a data report from the Chartered Institute of Public Finance and Accountancy, which was released last week, has shown that the purchasing of print books for libraries in England has fallen from £80 million in 2005 to £45 million last year. The figures also revealed that lending to children and adults has also decreased, with children's books declining 21% from 94.6 million loans to 78.6 million loans in the last 5 years. Library book lending to adults has fallen 36.5% in the last 5 years, from 200 million loans to 127 million loans. According to the data, electronic items took 18.2% of the book fund and produced 1.3% of book loans. Coates told the bookseller that figures showed that libraries need to be restocked with relevant and up-to-date book collections. Coates also criticized the Department for Culture, Media, and Sport and the Libraries Task Force for not properly analyzing the figures for the service. Laura Swaffield, chair of the library campaign, added that the results of Coates' analysis are not very surprising, as the libraries earmarked for closure are always the small branches that are easiest for children and young families to get to, and this explains the decline in lending. Also in the news on Thursday from The Guardian, YouTuber, Bama, and Brexit among new words in Oxford English Dictionary. Politics, business, and social media coined 2016's official additions to the English language, and naturally, Beyonce has a hand in it too. From The Millions, rest in peace, Shirley Hazard. Novelist Shirley Hazard, whose output of only two novels, The Transit of Venus and The Great Fire, received much acclaim, has died at age 85. From Melville House Books, we live in an era that will be characterized by the death of bees and the rebirth of fascism. The 36th International Book Fair Oaxaca took place last month in Mexico, and much like their northern neighbors, the conversation was dominated by Donald Trump. From Mental Floss, Prague's hottest new reading spot is a zeppelin on top of an art gallery. Prague's newest spot to curl up with a good book is a nearly 136-foot-long zeppelin suspended above an art museum, as Lonely Planet reports the city's Docks Center for Contemporary Art built the wood and steel structure to serve as a reading room and space for literary talks. From Book Riot, cracking the names behind A Christmas Carol. The names Ebenezer, Jacob Marley, and Bob Cratchit are now as deeply familiar to us as Santa, Rudolph, and Frosty. We know it all, or do we? And finally on Thursday from CBC, the 12 most underrated Canadian novels of 2016. Every year has its literary standouts, and every year has a slew of titles that deserve more attention than they got. Here are 12 Canadian novels that deserve their moment in the spotlight. Top news for Friday from The Guardian, André Makine uses Académie Française induction to attack ignorant Hollande. Russian novelist André Makine has criticized the last three French presidents as arrogant ignoramuses and lamented that once French presidents not only read novels, but knew how to write them while receiving France's highest literary honor. The Siberian-born novelist made the comments in a speech as he was inducted into the prestigious Académie Française. In the speech reported by news channel France 24, McKean also slammed Western policy in the Middle East as criminal. The 59-year-old author, who was granted political asylum under President Mitterrand in 1987 and writes in French, added, "Who today would have the impudence to question the martyrdom of so many people, Muslim or otherwise, on the altar of a new globalized world order?" Hours earlier, France's current president, François Hollande, had attacked Russia for its failure to safeguard civilians in Aleppo, where Moscow-based troops have aided Syrian President Bashar al-Assad against rebel fighters. Assad's forces have been accused of atrocities as they take control of the besieged city. Also in the news on Friday from the bookseller, Rogue One, a Star Wars Story Global Publishing program rolled out. DK has unveiled its Rogue One, a Star Wars Story Global Publishing program on December 16th, following the film's nationwide release this week. From LitHub, Bookselling in the 21st Century, The Perils of Shopping Local. Elena Trucker examines the very real limits to voting with your wallet. From Books Live out of South Africa, Jacket Notes, Krista Kulgian talks about her latest book, Darwin's Hunt, Science, Race, and the Search for Human Origins. From Newsroom at UCLA, alumnus Norman Powell grants $5 million gift to UCLA Library. Powell has given $5 million to create an endowment that will support the highest priorities of UCLA's university librarian. And finally on Friday from the CBC, Lawrence Hill, Colson Whitehead, nominated for NAACP Image Awards. Hill's novel, The Illegal, has been nominated for the NAACP Image Award in the Outstanding Literary Work Fiction category. His fellow nominees include National Book Award winner Colson Whitehead for The Underground Railroad, Jacqueline Woodson for Another Brooklyn, Bernice L. McFadden for The Book of Harlan, and Yvette Edwards for The Mother. Top story for Saturday from Smithsonian Magazine, most expensive science book sells for $3.7 million. The most expensive printed science book has recently sold at Christie's in New York. An anonymous buyer purchased a rare first edition of Sir Isaac Newton's Philosophiae Naturalis Principia Mathematica for $3.7 million. According to Jasper Jackson at The Guardian, the auction house believed the book would sell for $1 to $1.5 million. The most recent sale surpasses an English language edition of Principia, which was presented to King James II, which sold in 2013 for $2.5 million. If there's any science book that deserves to set a record, it's the Principia. Published in 1687, the book sets out for the first time Newton's three laws of motion, which shaped the course of modern physics. This particular edition was part of a set of books designed to be sold in mainland Europe instead of in Great Britain. It was one of an estimated 80 goatskin-clad continental editions produced. The book owes its existence to another eminent scientist, Edmund Halley, of comet fame. Though the Royal Society had agreed to print Newton's masterpiece, they had just blown all the money on an exhaustive book on the history of fish. Halley believed Newton's book was so important that he stepped in and paid for the printing at his own expense. Also in the news on Saturday from the CBC, Patti Smith explains Bob Dylan lyric flub in candid essay. Artist, musician, and writer Patti Smith has published a candid contemplation of her high-profile flub of a Bob Dylan song at this month's Nobel Prize ceremony. From The Drum, leaked EU proposals cracking down on data consent victimized publishers, says the IAB. Leaked privacy proposals from the European Commission, which would disable websites and browsers from being able to track people's online behavior and target them with advertising unless they have opted in, have been denounced by the Internet Advertising Bureau for victimizing publishers. From Books and Publishing out of Australia, Bongiorno wins 2016 ACT Book of the Year. Frank Bongiorno has won 2016 ACT Book of the Year for his nonfiction book The 80s, The Decade That Transformed Australia. From The Hindu, celebrating letters. On the 13th of this month, a countdown to the world's largest free literary festival, the Jaipur Literature Festival, started, with a curtain raiser to the event being held at the Taj Mahal Hotel. The 10th edition of the festival, to be held from January 19th to 23rd, promises to be bigger and better than before. Finally on Saturday, from LitHub, human hair, doll clothes, love letters, and other strange things found in old books. UVA's Book Traces Project tracks human interactions with physical books. Now for the top story from Sunday from Digital Book World, AAP lends letter to President-elect Trump. The Association of American Publishers sent a letter to President-elect Donald Trump this morning. The letter, signed by Alan Adler, General Counsel and Vice President of Government Affairs for the AAP, runs 5 pages and discusses in part why effective copyright legal protections are critical for publishers, how publishers make significant societal contributions, China's failure to live up to its commitments to lift restrictions on foreign investment in publications, importation, and distribution, and why Congress must fix the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. After introducing what the AAP is, the letter continues, among AAP's highest public policy priorities are the protection and enforcement of intellectual property rights, defense of the freedom to read and the freedom to publish, and promotion of research, education, and literacy. While the internet and smartphones have added texting, tweeting, emailing, instant messaging, social networking, and blogging to the ways individuals communicate privately with a few or publicly with a crowd, Publishing an original work remains a compelling way to tell a story, explain any subject, offer a viewpoint, or spread facts and ideas. Some authors choose to self-publish, but the more traditional approach of an author teaming up with an established publisher is still a tried and true means for people with something to say to reach those willing to heed them. Even amidst the constant flow of so many digitally enabled voices, texts, and images competing for their attention at all times of every day, wherever they may be. Also in the news on Sunday from the bookseller, Ambitious, W.H. Smith aims to expand bookshop portfolio. Alistair Campbell officially opened W.H. Smith's standalone bookshop at Euston Station on December 14th, which has so far performed ahead of expectations since its soft open last month, and is keen to roll the format out to other travel locations. From Huffington Post, this book designer redesigned the Bible as a novel. Adam Green lovingly turned an ancient text into a beautiful and expensive work of art. From New Yorker, the unclassifiable essays of Elliot Weinberger. Weinberger helps us to see that the essay, as a form, can do almost anything if we're willing to try, stating the essay is the only literary form that didn't have an avant-garde in the 20th century. From the Paris Review, a fresh bag of bananas. The poet James Wright was born this past week in 1927. In September 1975, he answered a fan letter with the story of how he cheered up a lonely poet, Bill Knott no less, one Thanksgiving with bananas. Lots of them. And closing out the week from Book Riot, Why I Love Rereading Books. Sharanya Sharma writes, to me, an avid rereader of beloved books, there's a different kind of magic returning to the worlds we love. Growing up, and even now, there has always been a sense of soothing and warmth knowing that in the pages of a book are characters that I truly love. We'll be right back after this quick message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
Similar to my blowjobs, I take pride in my talents, dancing being one of the best. In this day and age, courtship is often layered with several tests, and dancing is a major one. It's assumed that courtship involves traditional gestures, but in modern dating, there's a show. And just as the birds of paradise who show their colorful feathers and flashy bird calls with accompanying choreographed dances, the modern single is like the bird of paradise. Except replace the feathers with low-cut blouses or overpowering cologne, and replace the bird calls with dropping it like it's hot. That being said, I am the motherfucking peacock of dancing courtship. An excerpt from Dating as Told by the Modern Whore. Like Sex, Vexed, and Perplexed? Like hearing about Eileen Vega's adventures with sex and dating? Then pick up her first book, Dating as Told by the Modern Whore. Follow me in all of my sexual adventures as I go through different phases of my dating life. Hear a little bit about my perspective on modern dating, and blush as you read some of the raunchy, raunchy chapters.
Now available at the AS20 Market, Amazon.com, Smashwords, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, and wherever ebooks are sold.
Buy yours today.
And now to the New York Times bestseller list dated December 25th. Combined print ebook fiction number 1, Island of Glass by Nora Roberts. Number 2, The Whistler by John Grisham. Hardcover fiction number 1, The Whistler. Number 2, Cross the Line by James Patterson. Ebook fiction number 1, Island of Glass. And number 2, Tom Clancy, True Faith and Allegiance by Mark Greene. Paperback trade fiction number 1, The Island of Glass. Number 2, A Man Called Of by Frederick Backman. Paperback mass market fiction number 1, Merry Christmas, Alex Cross by James Patterson. Number 2, Property of a Noblewoman by Danielle Steele. Combined print ebook nonfiction number 1, Killing the Rising Sun by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugald. Number 2, The Undoing Project by Michael Lewis. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Killing the Rising Sun. Number 2, The Undoing Project. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow. Number 2, Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates by Brian Kilmeade and Don Yeager. Ebook nonfiction number 1, The Undoing Project. Number 2, Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance. Young Adult Ebook number 1, The Glittering Court by Rochelle Mead. Number 2, Thief of Lies by Brenda Drake. Young Adult Hardcover number 1, Courage to Soar by Simone Biles with Michelle Burford. Number 2, Heartless by Marissa Meyer. Young Adult Paperback number 1, The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. And number 2, Five Nights at Freddy's, The Silver Eyes by Spot Cawthon and Kira Breed Risley. And now for the home report. This past week we announced our annual Give a Book campaign, offering 60% off every purchase over $5 from the AS21 Market with the promo code hashtag giveabook. On top of that, subscribers to the AS21's weekly email can get a free copy of Life's Penance, my second book, and the first novella of the Millennial Row series with their own special promo code. Both codes are good through the end of 2016. Sign up for the weekly email on as21.com and facebook.com/as21 to take part in the second giveaway. Otherwise, visit market.as21.com and use the hashtag giveabook. We continued the Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign for Paul Dixon Russell's fantasy epic, The Will of the Magi. The campaign will help Paul cover the editing and design costs for his book, and hopefully also cover production and advertising costs as well. Visit the publishing page on media.as21.com or igg.me/at/as21. The campaign has had a steady stream of new contributions and currently stands at 79%, having raised $1,265. Here's a list of contributors to the campaign this past week. Ramondansum and Samuel Russell. As part of the crowdfunding campaign, we released one footnote episode of the Publish Me podcast, recapping the third week of the campaign and announcing additions to the campaign page, including a link to the portfolio of designer Ronald McGaynor. Find that podcast on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, YouTube, and media.as21.com. On Wednesday, this month's Creative Speaking video series was released, featuring the final part of Dr. Deepan Chatterjee's author interview. Find this web series on the AS21 YouTube channel and media.as21.com. On Thursday night, the Sex, Sex, Perplex podcast appeared on WDOS Internet Radio. The modern whore, Eileen Vega, will be appearing weekly Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. While most episodes will be restructured and paired episodes of the podcast, once a month, Eileen will be performing live and taking callers to share their own stories and get advice. This month's live show will be on December 29th, a chance to get some advice as you plan your New Year's resolutions. Visit www.wdosradio.net or news.as21.com for more information. In the week ahead, we will be making an announcement concerning an upcoming AS21 title. Sign up for the weekly email to get the news first at as21.com and facebook.com/as21. We will continue the Indiegogo campaign for Paul Dixon Russell's fantasy, The Will of the Magi. We'll be making updates throughout the week and may release additional footnote episodes of the Publishing Podcast as big news happens, including the Week in Review on Wednesday. On Wednesday, the next episode of the Sex, Sex, Perplex with the Modern Whore podcast will be released. Host Eileen Vega will be discussing quickies, giving her own advice on sexual relations on a schedule. This podcast is available every other Wednesday on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Media, AS21.com, and WDOSRadio.net. Also on Wednesday, we'll be holding the monthly ePress 21 webinar, Are You Ready to Self-Publish? Visit ePress21.com to get the link to sign up. It's just $6 to join. Later on Wednesday, it is a monthly Ask AS21 of the 21st webcast, simulcast on the AS21 YouTube channel and Periscope. I will be taking questions on writing, editing, marketing, and publishing books. It is always an interesting discussion, so don't miss out on this month's installment, Wednesday, December 21st at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Periscope at AS21 and the AS21 YouTube channel. This podcast and several others on the AS20 Podcast Network can now be supported through the advertising site AdvertiseCast. Current podcasts available include Sex, Sex, Perplexed, Publish Me, The World's Only Podcast, and this one with more to come. Visit AdvertiseCast.com for more information. Also remember AS21's new partnership with Patreon to support the AS21 Podcast Network. Visit patreon.com/AS21 for more information. Thank you for listening to this edition of Literary This Week. Be sure to subscribe on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, or our home on the web, media.as21.com, which also has a complete news list for this and previous episodes. So for all the stories you heard here, so that you can read them for yourself. You can keep up with the news during the week by following us on Twitter at AS21. If there's any stories that you think we missed, tweet to us with the hashtag LiterallyThisWeek. For AS21 Publishing, I am Keith F. Sheldon. Thank you for listening. See you next week and keep reading. Copyright 2016, AS21 Publishing, LLC, all rights reserved.
AS21 Publishing. What do you want your book to be?